Welcome once again to another fantastic episode of the Business Creators Radio Show. We help business creators like you win at the game of business and marketing so you can thrive from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion and make a difference for your community, market, and audience. Please take a moment, visit our website at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. You'll find hundreds of episodes covering a breadth and depth of topics relevant to you as a business creator and links to subscribe via your favorite network so you get fresh episodes delivered straight to you. And now, let's kick in with today's episode, which is going to be about how to leverage technology so you crush your sales goals. This is a topic you may have heard about 1,000 times, but I promise you that today we're going to be taking a completely different look at it from what we've seen before, which may possibly be a new point of view for you as well. We hear about automation, bots, artificial intelligence, and all this other stuff, email marketing, social media marketing, Promo Republic, Hootsuite, all these different things out there. And sometimes I think that the whole idea of leveraging technology so you crush your sales goals gets too focused on the technology itself, where we start to have debates about what's the best autoresponder to use. Now, I'm here to tell you that the actual discussion we should be having is a bit more deep than that. It's a bit higher level than that, and that's what we're going to do today. Again, how to leverage technology so you crush your sales goals. And with us today, we have somebody who I've wanted to have on Business Creators Radio for a long time. His name is Jesse Schechinger, and he is the founder of TryOnCourse.com, TryOnCourse.com. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Jesse. He is the laziest salesman in America, as well as the vice president of sales for the OnCourse sales engagement platform. Jesse is passionate about leveraging technology and automation to surpass revenue targets so he can help protect golf and bar time for the salespeople of the world. Okay, I don't really golf and I don't go to bars, but if he can get me into more cigar shops, I'm happy with that. Jesse won annual sales records at 2 different Fortune 500 companies. Well, actually, I'm going to let him tell you that part. But let's just get to where he's going right now. He spends time educating sales leaders to utilize the most effective sales tool in the world. And he co-hosts the, as he says, mediocre podcast called Tech Tales. Although I don't really think it's all that mediocre. I've checked it out myself, and I would suspect that if you were to check it out, Tech Tales with Jesse Schechinger, I think you would find it to be a pretty interesting show just like ours. At any rate, enough of this jibber jabber. Jesse Schechinger, come on in. The weather's fine.
Oh, fantastic. Adam, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it on the Business Creators Radio Show.
I read off a good part of your bio. Now, as you may be aware, before we dive in to our episodes, we right around this point, we typically have somebody who is in the audience, maybe multiple people, who have opened a separate browser tab and are now binging the Yahoo out of the Googles, trying to find out about this person we're interviewing, named Jesse Schechinger. Let me spell that for our audience just to help out. GESSIE SCHECHINGER. You're welcome. So as you're looking up this individual, looking to discover more about him, since we have him right here next to me in the audience in the studio, let me ask you, Jesse, tell us a little bit about your journey and what's brought you to where you are today, serving business creators from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion. You may recall I left a little bit of an open loop there just a moment ago.
Yeah, no, for sure. So, Adam, predominantly I'm a professional peddler. Since ever I can remember as a kid selling, I called experienced golf balls to people on the golf course, to grilled cheese sandwiches, to construction workers, to tires, to inside sales, cold calling, end up doing field sales, traveling all over the place. And largely that's what I've done. And, I would say that you could be effective, but I'd say that I'm the laziest sales guy in America because what I've tried to do is really just get out the brainless stuff. And I'm sure if you have any former sales guys or people that have worked in sales, they'll tell you, like, you really just want to get paid to talk. And you don't want to do any of the paperwork or the other nonsense. And so that's what I've done. And we've and really just kind of been passionate about all the fun technology out there and what we can do to use some of it to our benefit. Awesome.
Fantastic. So we have a lot of areas we can cover here, and I know you ran some things by me in the green room. So this may be in a particular order, and it may feel to the listener like maybe we're kind of jumping around a little bit. You might get that impression, but stay with us till the end because you'll see how this all comes together and explains how to properly leverage technology. So I alluded in my intro to how people misinterpret the idea of what it means to leverage technology so you crush your sales goals. So what I'd like to do is just, in your words, have us share your definition of what that term means, leveraging technology.
Yeah, so what I would say is that what that means is finding sales tools that can be complementary to your personal sales process. Finding where the gaps in your time are on activities that you don't actually need to do, and find particular solutions, and most of them SaaS solutions that can fill those gaps and also just make your life easier. I'm all about, and again, no golf or no bar, but I love a great cigar as well. So creating more time for salespeople to do what they want. And so to leverage that is really just finding the holes in your process and finding the best possible solutions to fill those gaps in with.
Absolutely. For our listeners, could you define what a SaaS is?
Yeah, so that is software as a solution.
Okay.
And so all of those things are, example, Calendly and QuickBooks and all that kind of stuff are just services that are software-based.
Yeah, you've already been in touch with a couple of my softwares just to get to this point. Either you or I know as a media personality, you have an agent who represents you. So they touched one of our softwares, which is the system through which we collect the information to have guests on Business Creators Radio. And I'm not sure exactly who scheduled the date and time, whether they did it for you or you did it for you, but somebody touched our Schedule Once application to put you in for today's episode. So there's two pieces right there where software as a solution in this very simple form comes into play. When you have that mindset, you begin to think a little bit bigger because it's a little bit more than, as I alluded to earlier, well, what's the best autoresponder to use? Now you're looking at it as a software that solves a problem more than, well, should I use MailChimp or ActiveCampaign or One Shopping Cart or Infusionsoft, which typically the answers you get to questions like that on discussion forums are like, well, if you don't use the one that I recommend, you're not really in business. And oh, here's my affiliate link. But how does that directly answer the question for the person who wants to use automation?
I know, everyone's got their own opinion, and it really is like swimming in a sea of SaaS, right?
Yeah.
And there are, believe it or not, like our mother company, ZipTech, that owns OnCourse, is a custom development shop. And like we literally were building a tool for people to manage their SaaS projects. So like it's SaaS on SaaS. It's pretty crazy.
Nice. I love that. We may have to come back to that if we have time. Now, a few minutes ago or a few moments ago, I mentioned the names of a few different platforms that sometimes come up in the conversation of what's the best autoresponder to use. And what's also interesting about them is that some of them are CRMs. Some of them think they're CRMs, and some of them, you have people who want them to be CRMs so bad they'll swear they're CRMs even though they're not. So what we'd like to do here is a two-part question, Jesse, if you could. First of all, if you could define for us what a CRM is. Again, we just want to give our listeners a good glossary. And then compare that to a sales engagement platform and what are the differences between those two things.
Yeah, sure. So a CRM stands for Customer Relationship Management. And the first time I started telling people that OnCourse was a sales engagement platform, they're like, oh, cute. You have fun words for CRM. But there is actually a real difference. So CRM is largely used to store your contacts, store your history of maybe what's happened with those contacts. There's also usually a pipeline portion to that that lets you track opportunities and enter opportunities, things of that nature. Where we kind of crossed the wall into engagement is where we bolt on the communication tools, right? And so we're bolting on things like a phone dialer. We're bolting on email automation, SMS automation. We're doing LinkedIn plugins and tools. And so not only are we collecting the information and storing it like a CRM, but we're also facilitating how the communication's going out and automating and optimizing how that works.
Nice.
And creating words, apparently.
Yes, absolutely. As I always say, if I can't remember the word for it, I'll just make one up.
Fair enough. So, but yeah, I mean, the sales engagement thing, and there's a couple on the market, right? And so there's us as OnCourse. There is SalesLoft as well, and a company called Outreach.io. They're probably our direct competitors. But they bolt on to Salesforce. We're more of a standalone type tool. But these are different tools that really, how they go past the CRM is that kind of communication and automating that part, and then providing, most importantly, the analytics. Because the reason that anybody even cares about any of this stuff is you need to drive value, and it's got to bring value into your company. You don't want another, I've never talked to a business owner that's like, "Ooh, yes, let's take another fixed business expense. That's awesome." It's usually that you have to invest in something that's going to bring value. And so by having that all come together, it gives you the reporting and analytics that I always say, it gives you a compass heading, right? Where you can kind of gauge some information and figure out where you need to steer the ship.
Right, right. And I think that's a really good distinction. And what I caught is that I've now recognizing a lot of people use the term CRM, and what they're actually referring to is a sales engagement platform. So it's kind of interesting how you have that juxtaposition of terms. So this is an answer that I'm not sure is the same for everybody, but maybe you can give us a framework to start with. What role should software play in the sales process?
Okay, so here's the thing. You cannot let your sales tool take the personal touch out of sales. There's probably a million salespeople that are screaming at me right now that say, "I do nothing but relationship selling, and there's absolutely no place for software in what I do," right? And what I would say is that everyone, to a degree, is a special little snowflake, but I guarantee you, here's a great example. You're going out, you have maybe a face-to-face meeting with somebody. You get out of the car, everything's fresh in your head. What do I want to do? I want to send that follow-up email, but it's going to be a little weird if I just walk out the door and send a follow-up email immediately. And so going into a tool where I can schedule that to fire off first thing tomorrow morning so I can kind of re-engage and do some of that stuff. And then I can automate those other follow-ups. And like, let's take step 2 through 3 and let's automate those things. You're still giving it your personal touch, but you're putting it in an order. The other area that I would say it plays is organizing, right? And typically there are patterns, and maybe later on we can get into a little bit of how scheduled cadences and sequences and that kind of stuff work. But there are usually patterns of behavior, and you realize if you do a couple things in order, you start seeing results. And so being able to automate some of those steps, I mean, I'm sure, Adam, you've heard like, you know, you need 6 touches to a sale or 7 touches to a sale.
I've heard it's 13 touches to a sale. So, I mean, it just depends on what system you're subscribing to. I once heard it was 21 touches to a sale. And that's because of, in part, all this automation we have in 2019, 2020 and beyond.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's an organization called Topo, and they actually study these outreaches. And so according to their data, an inbound lead, it takes 8 to 10. An outbound lead, it takes 14 to 16. An account-based lead takes 16 to 20. So I think all of us are correct.
Right, yeah. I think that's a great frame of reference because, I have seen a couple different trends. One of which, and I think this is the prevalent one, is that folks want to just automate absolute everything. Automate, 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 to the point where you have artificial intelligence and messenger bots. And I have seen folks try so hard to And I want to get, actually, I want to get your thoughts on this. Let me share an opinion, then I want to get your thoughts on it. I see folks who go so far to craft conditional logic for messenger bots to replicate a conversation that they miss the point that folks are going to know, generally speaking, as soon as they engage with that bot, that it is in fact a bot, and they're perfectly okay with that bot itself not having all the answers, but simply being a guide. They're not necessarily looking to have a two-hour conversation with a bot, but people put so much emphasis into that, creating that conditional logic to manufacture a conversation, that inevitably it gets exposed. And in my opinion, this is where I want to get your thoughts as the subject matter expert here, it actually can cost you a lot of sales because people end up feeling alienated from the process.
You're 100% correct. And I get into some of these things where I actually just keep asking questions, like, let's just see how dirty this thing's going to get.
Right.
And I don't think that people are easily fooled. And there is a role for that to play. But I think that you, to your point, you have to be very transparent of, you know, I'm your virtual assistant here to answer a select amount of questions. And
yeah,
there's a way that you could position it where it's like, okay, this is what this is. But if you say like, oh, I'm Johnny, you know, with XYZ company, it's like, oh, okay, sweet, I got a dude. And then you ask him a complex question and it's like, great, sure, let me have your email address and I'll follow up with you. Like, it's like, dude, we get it. There's not somebody there. No one's monitoring this. But then occasionally you will get people. So for example, how our process works on our website is it goes into a tool that is very much like Slack, but it's called Rocket Chat. It's
okay,
an open source version of Slack, but it goes into a Slack channel where actually we do have a people, or it actually comes and it says like, hey, sorry, we're sleeping right now, so we'll get back to you later, leave us a message. And so I do think, I agree with you in the part that if you try to position yourself too much as a person, that it gets really dirty and dangerous. The other thing, so we do a large amount of our selling, for better or worse, over LinkedIn. And one of the things that I think is a giveaway, and this is just poor automation and marketing, is like, if you wrote a 4-paragraph letter to me in LinkedIn Messenger, I'm pretty sure it's a copy and paste. Like, you did not take the time.
I'm pretty sure it's not getting read.
I mean, I people have the attention span that can be measured in nanoseconds, and I'm the guiltiest of all. Like, I'm a guy who reads the news, I read the headline, and that's about it. I carry on with my day. Same thing with emails. Like, you got maybe a second paragraph out of me, but if there's not something good in the first two sentences, I'm out. And so I tell all my guys, I'm like, when it comes to emails in LinkedIn, shorter the better, because you're going to find out real quick. That's like an easy copy and paste. And that's what I think also, you know, Adam, gives automation such a poor reputation, is the way that people are using it. And I mean, I think that we're in a point in our society where almost everyone could sniff a template coming from a mile away.
Right.
And there are researches, right? So there's studies that show that, you know, so if I want to sell Adam something, I know almost for verifiable fact that the first six times that I email you, you're like waking up in the morning and just deleting that stuff, right? Like,
yes.
You have to recognize, like, the first part of your day, you're going in, you're deleting all the trash. And like, I'm hoping to just catch like a little glimpse of maybe subconsciously you recognize my name. And then you also have these guys, I love these people. It's like Tim McGraw and Rachel Ray are emailing you. They try to use funny names to get that working. But I know you're going to delete the first six. And so I don't even really have to put a lot of work into those first six. And some guys just play the numbers game that way, which I think is a bit short-sighted. But they plow through all that stuff. And then email 7, 8, 9, there's a shot at you maybe reading something. But I one thing I want to make sure your listeners do understand is that email is very much alive. And if you're not using it, you're missing the boat. And it's the greatest ROI in the history of the world.
Whoa.
Fact.
Do you know how many notes I took while you were giving that? Holy moly, you touched on so many buttons. Let me briefly state the ways.
I'm sorry.
This is great. This is great. First of all, LinkedIn messages. You said if it seems like it's going to go on more than a couple paragraphs, it's probably a copy paste message. Okay. If I see a LinkedIn message that goes on more than a couple paragraphs, I'm pretty sure I'm never going to pay attention to anything that person ever has to say.
Fact.
Because they've revealed themselves from the jump as putting me into some sort of pre-programmed, manufactured conversation that's about them. When you start to see the three paragraphs, especially, let's say, Jesse, I got to ask you, have you ever gotten a LinkedIn message where somebody asked, "Hey, Jesse, so great we could connect. I was wondering, have you ever heard of sales automation?" Has that ever happened?
Of course.
Exactly. It's happened to everybody. Because what you may think when you write messages like that you're making it about the other person because you're helping them identify as somebody who, to follow your example, knows sales automation. What they're really doing is making it about them because they themselves have something they want to sell you that's related to sales automation. So blah, 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 blah. Go on. Free consult, opt into my special report. Okay, that's definitely one that I'm not going to be reading.
Yeah, no, 100%. And the interesting thing about selling on LinkedIn is that people don't understand you're doing a very delicate dance because people are coming on here, this platform, for a couple reasons. One, I mean, you're either going to be entertained or educated. Right. Yeah. And those are usually the two things. And there is a social part of it where they do just want to connect with others and learn different things. And you have to run a really fine line around that education thing, because if somebody, like I would say, just kind of throws up their value prop, like straight out of the gate.
Yep.
That's not going to go well for you. How we train our team, our SDR teams, is that I want to recognize that A, they're leveraging their own personal network, and that they need to understand what they're doing and not just be, just don't be a company man throwing stuff up. I mean, you need to go and you need to have a formal introduction with this person. You need to follow up and learn more about what they're doing. Find out if there is a business problem there that's worth solving. And you literally, like, we call it connecting, but we don't do much of the connecting part. So we're really trying to do that. And the thing is, as salespeople, and I'm the most guilty of all, patience is not really in the engine, so to speak.
Right.
And so you just like, oh, dude, I could smash through 1,000 of these. I'm going to rip this stuff like right now. And like, he's like, dude, like, slow down. Like, just, it's okay. These people aren't going anywhere. And like, our automation, so we have a Chrome plugin that goes along with OnCourse. And I don't know how much outreach you've done via LinkedIn, but let's say that you have like 100 messages going, right?
Yeah.
Good luck scrolling down to find out where that thing started and who you started with.
Yes. It's
unmanageable. You keep scrolling down, it keeps loading like 5 at a time, and you're just like, oh my gosh, bullet to the head. So what our tool does is it automatically captures the LinkedIn client information and then throws them into an outreach sequence. And instead of utilizing templates, it puts you in a sequence of tasks. So it really just schedules the follow-ups on when the appropriate time. And obviously we toy with these things, right? Because any successful market strategy has got to have a very unique touch pattern. And some things are appropriate, and you really have to be able to change at the speed. So some people are on LinkedIn every single day. Some people check their LinkedIn like once a quarter. And so you have to know the kind of people that you're doing with and schedule accordingly, but at least it gets you a nice frame and gets you on a schedule to remind you to touch those people. And that's really, as I call it, just brainless work of just getting notified like, oh yeah, I can go to that. It makes it so much easier to navigate when you have a tool like that.
Exactly. Now, the next note that I took, and I appreciate you sharing that with us, by the way, is less is more. I have found that I'm more likely to respond to a LinkedIn message when they ask a simple question that makes no assumptions. I've found that when they make a very specific micro ask, I'm more likely to comply with it. I've found that when we do the same thing with our LinkedIn marketing, we get more engagement from the person we're attempting to connect with. So if I connect with somebody, I might, because I might look at their profile and I may think that I know what they're doing with their business or what they, what apps they're using, what tools they're using, whether or not they're involved in being a host or a guest of a podcast. But I don't know that for absolute sure, because who knows how completely they filled out their LinkedIn profile. So So I might ask a question like, say something like, hey, Jesse, thanks for connecting. Just wondering, are you involved in podcasting? If so, how?
Yeah. Sweet, simple, to the point, right?
Yeah. And you can say no, in which case I'd say, huh, is that something you might be interested in? Or you might say something like, yeah, as a matter of fact, I do have a show and it's about this. And would you like to be on? Or I'm looking for this type of guest. Do you know somebody? So it could open that type of conversation. By starting with something simple that doesn't make assumptions, you're more likely to get that engagement. Less is more. Let's also look at digital literacy, which requires short phrases and nanosecond attention spans. And let's look at, you know, you mentioned yourself, you know, go back through 100 messages and good luck trying to find out where it all started. Well, we're looking at our social media, including our LinkedIn message inbox on smartphones. And that's a very small field. So if you have three or four paragraphs and somebody sees you're going to have to scroll up and then up and then up and then up, they find out pretty quickly that they're just going to lose interest and they're going to set aside to go back to never.
Oh, 100%. And like, I love to talk to salespeople and it's like, okay, let me ask you a question. When's the last time that you read a four paragraph email from somebody you didn't know?
I can tell you the last time I read a four paragraph email from somebody I did know. I can tell you, I looked at it and I saw it was long paragraphs. There was no digital literacy. It went on and on and on. I didn't even read it. I actually just without even reading it, replied to it and said, too complex. Here's what I wrote. Too complex. Bullet points or schedule with Adam.com. which means, in other words, put it in bullet points or schedule a call.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the problem is people want to write these War and Peace long emails. And yeah. It's like, listen, if it's more than a couple of paragraphs, to your point, Adam, get on the phone. Let's talk about it.
Well, there's something else too. You've heard the abbreviation, or perhaps have heard the abbreviation TLDR, which frequently you see on Reddit stories at the very end that summarizes that whole story in one sentence. TLDR literally stands for too long, didn't read.
So exactly.
Let's say that you're composing an email and there's just a lot of detail you need to get out there one way or the other. There's just no avoiding it's going to be one of those longer emails. So what you can do to increase the chances that email gets read is at the very top, put what I call a TLDR statement at the top. In other words, summarize in one sentence, what is the point? Or if the purpose of the email is to respond to something or make a recommendation, summarize it in one sentence and then say, if you need further detail, here it is. And then you can write till the cows come home.
Oh yeah, of course. And again, in society today, we have so many different communication channels and way to connect with each other that people always also have a preference. You know, some people yeah. don't mind being sold on LinkedIn. Some people don't mind going back and forth in email. Some people would rather, I mean, right. Like I was pretty much shocked and we have a very hard, fast rule about you can't do cold outreach with SMS, but the amount of people that are transitioning, it's almost like a relationship thing where they could transition from email to text. It's like a thing. It's like our relationship just went to the next level, Adam. We're texting
yeah.
now.
And I get what you mean. Like me, for example, if anybody has followed me on social media for any amount of time, they know my feelings about wanting to be on the telephone. Never. Like I'm even reluctant to get paid for it some days. Candidly, I have to mentally prepare myself even when I'm getting paid for it. Candidly, which is why when somebody schedules a call with me through schedulewithadam.com, they have the opportunity to tell me what they want to discuss so that I can read those notes in advance and I can show up ready to rock and roll.
Exactly.
And that actually gives me the energy that gets me excited about doing it. So I'm using the technology, the software as a solution to actually benefit my mental state and help me be of better service. So think about those things as well. So anyway, I was in the process of launching a venture and I wanted to do some outreach networking with some of my centers of influence and people I know who I wanted to get their thoughts on it. So now if I had started cold calling these people, anybody receiving any of those cold calls would have thought, A, he's desperate and must be broke, or B, he's listening to some sales coach who's telling him to do something that he's doing through gritted teeth, and I can hear him growling in this message that he didn't want to leave. So I ain't cold calling.
Well, and so that's actually a really funny point that you bring up. So when I started in sales, I was kind of just in one of those boiler room type-esque environments where we had to do 450 calls a week.
Been there, done that.
And so we're smashing through these dials and everything. And so now we get to a position where I have my own team. We have AEs, account executives. We have SDRs who are the sales development representatives. And these people are like, they're demo setters, right? Like they try to get people in the software. And it is eerily quiet on that floor. And it's something that I had to just kind of get over, because I was just kind of this old of like, are these people even working? Like, what's happening? But they're crushing through LinkedIn. Demos are getting on the board. Things actually is going on. And I talked to the one guy. I was like, how come, like, we got this awesome dialer. How come you're not using it? It's like, I get stuck like 3 minutes on a phone tree to get through just to leave somebody a voicemail. And I'm not even sure it's the right person. And if I'm on LinkedIn, I'm going exactly to the source. And while it might be a longer sell, we talked about that previously, if you got to do the dance, you have to do the thing, you're getting to the right person and you know who that person is. So it was crazy to me to just hear how quiet our sales floor was. In the very beginning, it stressed me out a little bit, but then the numbers came and I was like, all right, they know what they're doing.
Right. So you're absolutely right about that. So where I was going with that is I'm never going to cold call, and it's not going to happen. However, what I will do is take into account some of the things that you just said right there. People, you know, they go through phone trees. They're not even sure if they're leaving a message for the right person. And then think about what goes into a voicemail. You have to leave the voicemail. Then somebody has to listen to it. So I make jokes about this in my book, Groundhog Day is an Event, Not a Business Strategy. I make a whole rant about how people set up their voicemail greeting where it says, hi, I'm on the phone or away from my desk. No, you're not. because some boss told you that was the required script for you to use really, you're on the phone or away from your desk. So let me guess. Other than your mandated 30-minute lunch and 2 15-minute breaks from between 8 o'clock and 5 o'clock p.m., if I leave a voicemail for you, I'm guaranteed a call back within 10 minutes. Because right now you're just either on the phone or you're on one of your short breaks. But the second you get back, you're going to download my voicemail, listen to it, get all excited, and call me right back. Anybody believes that one? Rub your forehead in a circular motion while rubbing your tummy in the opposite circle for an hour nonstop. It just doesn't happen.
it's pretty funny. I think it's funny about the script. Now I got to rethink my voicemail message. Maybe just re-record it to saying, I'm not really feeling this conversation right now. Leave a message.
you know what? Actually, you might actually want to test that, because when people hear stuff like that, they think, oh, this Jesse, he seems like a pretty down-to-earth, funny guy, and hey, I can relate. I'm going to leave him a voicemail. I hope he calls me back. He sounds funny. I might enjoy a chat with him. So anyway, to cap this, and I think you and I have had a great back and forth on some of the impediments and how software as a solution can help with the sales process, just some of these things we're griping and commiserating about. I need to reach out to a bunch of people about my new venture. So here's what I did. I went to my social media inboxes, Facebook or LinkedIn, and I picked 50 people, and I just sent the following message. I'll pretend like I addressed it to you. I said, Jesse, I would love to get 5 to 10 minutes of your time. As you may have seen, I just kicked off In Demand Expert in soft launch mode, which takes a new approach to podcast live stream booking. I'd love to get your thoughts on it. If you're able to help, how can I get on your calendar for a quick chat? I sent that to 50 people, went and watched a speech on television for an hour and a half, and came back and had 24 responses, all positive, and 13 appointments the next day. In fact, I learned a lesson. Never schedule a 15-minute appointment without putting a 15-minute buffer, because sometimes it takes 15 minutes just to say hello.
That's absolutely true.
Or what happens is you run into somebody who you ask them for 15 minutes, but they are so happy to help you, they got 30 minutes to give you.
Well, and then
and then you're pushing the next call. But the point being is how effective that strategy was. And when you look at what the actual ask was, is how do I get on your calendar for a quick chat? I didn't ask a question like, hey, when can you talk? Which would require them to look at their calendar. I didn't say something like, what's your number so I can call you? What, so I can listen to a voicemail? Or, hey, what about tomorrow 3? Yeah, tomorrow 3, I'm going to be petting my cat. I'm not going to answer the phone for you. In fact, I'm going to stay away from my phone because you said you were going to call. I mean, because I just don't want to have a conversation with somebody tomorrow. Those are some of the reactions we get in real time. When I phrased it as, hey, how can I get on your calendar for a quick chat? What I was doing is I was saying to them the following things. Number one, I know you're extremely busy. I respect that and I honor that. Number two, I believe that you are such a high-end player that you have your software as a solution in place working for you. Number three, I want to use that. So basically, how do I get on your calendar? And what it showed, because almost half of those people that wrote back to me, the response read something like, glad to help. And then they pasted their scheduler link. That was the whole reply.
Oh, and it's phenomenal. And I think like what you actually also proved in that, outside of what you just stated, was not only did you share your competency of how business is conducted, but you also conveyed a respect of time.
Yeah. Right?
And I think that really resonates with people, because today everyone's fighting for your time, right? And so when somebody comes, it's just kind of presenting like, I understand how this game's played.
Yeah. When people who saw that you were going to be on Business Creators Radio Show saw the title, Leveraging Technology So You Crush Your Sales Goals, they immediately were thinking a couple things. They were thinking about text message marketing. We touched a little bit on that. They're thinking about social media marketing and messaging. We touched a little bit on that. And you and I have been sort of doing a happy dance around one of the big elephants in the room, email marketing. We agree it still works. How's it working for you?
Okay, so this gets into a broader conversation and how you use it. So when I say the greatest ROI of all time, I simply mean that it costs you almost nothing and the benefits you get are tremendous. Now, like I said, it's important that you put all these things, because you need to have multiple touches. You need to have those touches over different days. And it's also important to use different channels. And again, we're testing the water. So this is a new outreach where you're cold prospecting to people you don't know very well. And the way that email works in our organization and for previous organizations I've worked in is we use it a part of what I would say is a scheduled cadence. Now, a scheduled or controlled cadence goes something like this, right? So day one, maybe we're doing pre-call research. We're finding out who is a good prospect, right? Day two, we have a very account-centered message where, you know, we're going to hit you with a quick, I know that we already talked about not liking this, but we are going to do a little voicemail, email, and hit you on LinkedIn, right? After that, we're going to give it another day. We're going to also shoot you another email. Hopefully after that, you've connected with us. We're then going to follow up with another call, and then we're going to do another LinkedIn message. And we twist and turn with these. So one of the things that I think has been awesome in email marketing has been, have you seen the video embedded messages?
Of course.
Yeah. So when I first saw that, I thought it was so cool. And this lovely saleswoman, she had a dry erase board and she had wrote, you know, Jesse, want to talk to you on the dry erase board. And my name's Jesse with a G. She spelled it correctly. And so that's always, you know, pretty impressive to me, as mom was a creative lady. So I hit this and I was like, you know, that was fantastic. It captured my direction. I told everyone, I'm like, from now on, we're doing video email. Let's get it rocking. And then we sent all of these things and it was a dud. I was like, why? I don't understand. And that's how what we talked about previously, where everyone deletes the first six. That's how I learned that lesson, right? And we started playing with where we time and where we put those things in. And as soon as we started putting in that sixth or seventh message of the thread, that's when the engagement happened. And that's when we started getting people pull in. And those things are so cool, because I don't know There's tools for your listeners like Vidyard or Loom are great tools that allow you to do these. And it only takes like 2 minutes to do, and you throw it in an email. And quite frankly, again, I think I've demonstrated I'm not a big reader. And so I'm way more likely to listen to you via video than I am. Like, that's where you can kind of get those three paragraphs out, is in a video, because now I'm just linking and watching you. And so it's a really, really good way to leverage email for sure.
Yeah, I'll remind everybody to please be sure to subscribe to Business Creators Radio Show on your favorite syndication network so you can download amazing free coaching sessions like the one you just got. That was fantastic.
Oh, great.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. I mean, that was a great layout of how you can integrate technologies with your email marketing and how you can position your email marketing. Now, to me, when it comes to email marketing, I agree with everything you said, and a couple things that I would just inject since we're having a conversation here is, remember, I'm going to quote the late, great Dan Pointer, the god of self-publishing. And if he said that to his face, he'd nod and smile. I met the man, I know. Great guy. And he would say over and over again, yes, a book is judged by its cover. Regardless of that old truism, don't judge a book by its cover. A book is absolutely judged by its cover. By the same token, an email is judged by its subject line.
Very true.
So in my work, because I do some private work as a copywriter, it's not something where you can call me up and say, hey, you write an autoresponder sequence for me? I pick you. It doesn't go the other way, just to be clear. But anyway, I just wanted to put that out there. I do some of this work, and every so often I'll get pushback from clients. One example would be, it was the day before their webinar. So I put together a webinar promotion sequence, and the day before, the morning of the webinar, I crafted an email and the subject line was, here's your login link for today's webinar. And this was sent to the people who had not signed up for the webinar yet. Now, another role I have with clients is, we don't go through proofreading and back and forth and such. You give me the keys, I write it, and if you don't like it, that's just how it is. because I know what I'm doing. If I'm doing ghostwriting for somebody, we actually have a 30-day introduction process where for the first 30 days, they actually do review everything before it goes out, and they do it in such a way that helps me capture their voice quickly so that I can act autonomously from that point forward. So there's actually a structure behind that. Don't think I expect people to swallow stuff they don't like. In fact, I put a lot of effort into adapting my client's voice. But at any rate, I sent out this email, and then I got a message back from the client, says, this email is an absolute flat out lie, and I don't appreciate dishonesty to my audience. I'm thinking, what? And then they went on to say, this is stupid. Nobody likes it. I'm getting 1,000 complaints about it. And this just ruined my webinar. And so my first question was, send me the list of everybody who complained. Actually, the entire list was their spouse who called from the next room. Honey, I got this real funny email from you. That was the extent of this barrage of complaints. As far as the ruined the webinar, nobody was signing up. Their registration went up by 43% tracked to that one email. Third, how was it a lie? I said, here's the link for today's webinar. So you open up this email, and there's a link. It's the link you click on so that you can sign up for the webinar. That is a link to today's webinar. Fact. But the bottom line was 43% growth. And this is where the subject line, the email was judged by a subject line. And contrary to somebody who missed the point of the email, who happened to be the one paying for it, just that's how it works sometimes, completely misjudging the entire context, that was an email being judged by its cover, and they were giving it a thumbs up. Why that was such a powerful email? It's a pattern interrupt. They're thinking, what, link for today's webinar? I don't remember signing up for any webinar. What's this? Click open. Now they see the pitch and they say, yeah, I think I'll sign up for that. Click, signed up. Now, what's really cool about that is if you have a software as a solution and you can integrate email marketing with that in such a way where when people click on the link in the email that says sign up now, it's tracked back to you, the recipient in the database, and automatically registers them without having to fill out an opt-in form. And I believe there are some out there that do that.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So that's what I think of sometimes when I think of how we use software as a solution, SaaS, and the power of email marketing, is that effective email marketing creates pattern interrupts. And I'll also mention, just going back to that response that you, I had so many things I pulled out of, they're going to delete the first 6 emails, you said.
Correct.
I've always said that a good rule of thumb is it one out of, you know, that if you get 1 out of 10 people reading your email and your average subscriber reading 1 out of 10 of your emails, you're doing decent baseline work that you can improve upon, but at least you have a solid foundation. I stand by that. And by what you're saying, it's the first 6, you're actually beating that expectation if we go by your set of expectations. And the fact is, they're going to see Jesse Schechinger. They start to see him 5-6 days in a row. And eventually, they may think, you know what? This guy, he's always in my inbox. I'm at least going to open up and see what he has to say.
Yeah.
That's where you get a conversation going.
Yeah, it's one of those things where something happens psychologically where it's like, all right, this dude's not going away. Like, what is it? You know,
right.
And it's not that you're trying to annoy people, but you have a lot of noise that you have to cut through. And that repeat of just kind of hitting them a couple times is necessary to get through. And the other thing, Adam, that I think is really interesting is the lack of prep time people put in to what we'll say is their prospect list, right? And you're about to put somebody in what I consider a really powerful sequence. And if you, it's very tempting to just get like 10,000 names off of Zoom info and upload that spreadsheet and just let it hammer through. I think that goes back to your point of like when somebody emails you, you know, a really annoying LinkedIn long message, they've lost credibility with you like instantaneously, right? And if you're, even with you're doing your email marketing and even though they're gonna be deleted, you need to make sure that you have a strong message for that market and that you are saying something that's relevant to their job and function. You know, I mean, that's where you can get really sideways fast with people. Like nothing's more annoying than somebody tries to sell me what I'm selling. And you can't believe how many times it happens. It's like, dude, I'm your competitor. Oh, my bad. You know, it's like a little bit of research, you would have got there.
Right. Precisely. I think you're absolutely correct about that. So what does, in your vision, the future of sales look like? In the time we have left, let's kind of look forward a little bit.
So this is where things are getting really interesting and it's going to get really cool. Everyone since time immemorial has had a pipeline and they've always kind of said like, I'm 70% that this guy's going to close. And you do a lot of that, lick your finger, put it in the air, kind of gauging of where somebody is in the sales cycle. One of the things that I think is getting really cool is how proficient we're getting with our pipelines. I know at OnCourse, we have multiple pipelines and we have these sequences. We're trying to grab all this data. And where I think that this is all headed and what our team and others like ours are working on is you can take today. So you can basically, you can start to calculate how many touches are required to sell somebody. And there's a thing called, are you familiar with sentiment analysis?
Yep.
So sentiment analysis being that whole, you know, you can kind of like, I talked to Adam and he was pleasant and happy and okay, Jesse talks to people, they're happy. I always like to make fun of our CEO, Cash. Cash talks to Adam and Adam's grumpy, you know, so maybe
yeah.
Cash isn't doing a great job. And so we take this sentiment analysis, then you match it with the amount of tasks, touches in those types, and we're going to start to see some real precision in where people are on the sales cycle and the buyer's journey and when they're going to be able to actually be pushed to close. And I think that's getting very calculated and very real. The other thing that I think people Especially like my father. My father, also career long sales guy, you know, full suit every day, handkerchief, scarf in the pocket, going around, beating doors. He traveled his whole life as a field guy. I think that the sales job is coming behind a computer. I think that we are finding out that people are sitting in office all day and making just as much revenue as people that travel all over the country. Sure, yeah, there's going to be some exceptions to that rule, but the way things are headed and the technology we have, analytics is going to drive all, and we're going to really catch people in the buyer journey. When I say buyer journey, it's really people who are already that 50% on their way to buy your product, and how we analyze what you're doing is we're going to catch you at the right time, and it's going to start really driving revenues. And that's, I know, where OnCourse is eventually headed.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned finding people in the buyer's journey, you know, where they are. And you mentioned, you know, where people are physically sitting. That's actually a final point I had when you gave that response earlier. And I had so many things I wrote down. And you mentioned that a lot of people will check their email and they'll check their social messages first thing in the morning. Let me take that even a little bit further. I typically check my messages somewhere mid to late morning, but here there's a couple guidelines I have about it. Number one, I don't do it first thing. Number two, I don't do it until I've already done something to make money for the day. The reason being is if what's in those messages is about to send my day into a tailspin, at least I went into it on a winning streak. Either way, I'm going into it on a winning streak, and my whole day is not lost at that point.
And that's super interesting, Adam.
I have. So I find it so cute when people send me emails and they put the word urgent in the subject line. In fact, I kind of get tickled out of saying, I'll read that later. Because number one, are they paying me enough so that their urgencies are mine? Except for like seven people, the answer is no, number one. Number two, those people know that if they put urgent in a subject line and I don't see it immediately and I don't pounce on it and their little urgency just keeps going and going and going with no response from me, they already know they should have picked up the damn phone because they're close enough to me that they know my number. I mean, so there's little things you have to just think about when you put things in perspective. And when you look at email and you look at some of the things we're talking about now and catching people on the buyer journey and how we deal with people's attention spans and things like that, it's a process.
It's a process.
And a lot of soft touches as you go along till you get there is my observation.
And that's so funny that you say that, Adam, about the urgency. And I just think the thought just popped in my head. I'm like, yeah, nobody's emailed 911, right?
Right.
That's not a thing. Like, yeah, how urgent can it be if it's email as the communication channel that you chose? So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Only once have I ever actually had to call somebody out on this where they thought that Saturday afternoon would be a great time to send an email. And they put urgent in the subject line, even though it wasn't even anything all that important. They just wanted to see if I jumped. So I got to it in normal course on Monday. And they said, I wrote urgent in that subject line. It took you 2 days to get back to me. Said, yeah, next time it'll take four because you're a paying client, which means when we did the very first transaction, I explained to you all the various ways that you could get a hold of me that the public doesn't know about that are your privilege because you're a paying client. How many of those did you use? Software is a solution.
Yep. Man, I tell you, it's an interesting world that we're selling in these days, no doubt about it.
It is. And, you know, and I bring up some of these stories just so that people get a sense of some of the reactions people are getting when you're giving, maybe not directly to them, but perhaps about them when they reach out to folks wanting to sell them something or market to them or connect with them towards building a relationship. I prefer the third term personally. That's just me. And recognizing that regardless of those reactions, when you properly use automation and leverage technology so you can crush your sales goals, you can work past that. So maybe if I have a snarky response to some email you sent me, maybe I'll just a reflection of my mood in that moment. Doesn't mean you have to delete me from your list, or it doesn't mean I'm going to rebel against you. Just keep going. Maybe tomorrow you'll say something that will really tickle my fancy, and I'll dial you up and take your demo at tryoncourse.com, and we'll do business. Who knows? See, product placement.
Yep, I love that. Appreciate it, Adam.
I also acknowledge I made a little error at the very beginning of this when I was pronouncing it as Tryon Course, because I thought that meant try courses or something, but it literally means try on course, which is the name of your product, your solution, on course. So tryoncourse.com, great domain. Since we have just a couple minutes left, why don't you, Jesse, tell us a little bit about how On Course works, and if somebody is looking to take what they've discovered today to a higher level, how they can get started.
Yeah, no, appreciate it. So On Course, again, sales engagement platform. And so it's a CRM. It's going to have everything you need from the CRM functionalities like pipeline management, history. It's a document storage thing. In addition to that, we have phone dialer. If you have any kind of MailChimp or Constant Contact, we have that bulk email technology built in, again, with the LinkedIn Chrome plugin. We have calendar scheduling, all the emails. It syncs with your email. And so instead of having to take notes, it automatically pulls your emails into the, whether you fall in love with your Outlook or you send all your emails from your phone, it all gets correlated and indexed into On Course. And we have, like I said, we're at release one of four releases. Things are just going to get more and more cool. And, you know, especially for those of you who are starting out, or quite frankly, those of you who maybe we have six tools. The reason that we came up with this product was because our Zibtech, our mother company, we were paying for all kinds of stuff. And we just all of a sudden sat down one day. We realized how much we were paying, how many different logins we were managing and fees, and none of them talked to each other. And so that's what we're trying to do, consolidate that space. And believe it or not, you get these things talking together, you start finding out how your business is winning, and you drive revenue a lot. And so if you're interested anymore, please go to tryoncourse.com, or you can find me, Jesse Schechiger, at LinkedIn and talk to me that way, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Great, great, great. So thank you for sharing all that. And I'll say your domain one more time for you, www.tryoncourse.com. Actually, I love the way that site is designed and how convenient it is for somebody to get the demonstration of how it works. So I encourage everybody, just take a look at that and see how that works out for you. I think you'll be pleasantly pleased that you took the time to do so. So for everybody listening, this has been an episode about how to leverage technology so you crush your sales goals. And I'd like to say once again to Jesse Schechiger, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been an honor and an education.
Hey, thanks so much, Adam. You're the best.
All right. For everybody listening, this has been another one of those great, fantastic episodes. And we trust you've enjoyed Business Creators Radio Show today. Check out our previous and our upcoming episodes on our website at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. While you're there, be sure to subscribe via your favorite network so you get fresh episodes delivered straight to you. Until next time, have a great day. Take care.